Welcome to the After Hours Podcast, a place where music educators share ideas and work toward solutions to better serve their students. Presented by Amro Music. This week, Nick Averwater and his panel of four middle school band directors talk about how they're preparing for classroom procedures during COVID-19. This conversation was part of AMRO's After Hours webinar series and took place on August 11th, 2020.
Panelists, welcome. If you don't mind sharing with all of our listeners, who are you, where are you, what do you do? And let's focus on some positive. We hear plenty of coronavirus negativity, but if we look hard enough, we can find a silver lining. What's been your silver lining through all of this? Emily, we'll start with you.
Hello, my name is Emily Brown, and I teach at South Gibson County Middle School. It's a rural area outside of Jackson in a town called Medina. This will be year 27 for me, and I think the silver lining, I'm really digging for this, Nick, because it's been depressing here lately. I think my silver lining is going to be when I see those kids smile when they come through that band room door on the first day we start Monday. So I think that's going to be what makes all this stress worthwhile, is seeing those kids light up when they walk in through the band room door.
Yeah, that'll be pretty spectacular. That'll be pretty spectacular. Terry, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Sure, I'm great. I'm Terry Green. I'm currently at Olive Branch Middle School. This is, I believe, year 33. We are in our second week of planning for this new challenging school year. Nothing bad about it. It's just going to be a new challenge after 33 years. Never seen anything like this before. I'm looking forward to getting started. The band hall right now is looking different than it ever has. But I guess probably my silver lining was one of my little clarinet players who will be in eighth grade this year came in a couple of days ago all masked up, and we stood still at our 6 feet social distancing, and she gave me the biggest air hug, and she said, "Miss Green, what I've missed the most the last 4 months is being able to play my clarinet and being in the section and being able to play with everyone else." So we're going to try to make that happen, hopefully soon, for her.
That's great. That's fabulous. And Brittany, welcome. Good to see you.
Hey, Nick. I am Brittany Jarrell, and I am one of the band directors at Stewart's Creek Middle School in Smyrna, Tennessee. I think silver lining-wise has just been the innovation that has happened through this time. There's so many things that we've had been forced to reevaluate and rethink, and I think as much as there's some really crazy things we have to do now, there's also lots of wonderful new ways to do things that we probably wouldn't have looked at before. So I'm hoping some of that might stick and we'll look back one day and be like, remember when? And it won't be so bad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Andrew, how about you? Welcome back to After Hours.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. Andrew Lynn, this is my 23rd year teaching. And I'm at Stewart's Creek with Brittany, and yeah, she's the one figuring out all those new things. I'm the old guy that sits back and says, you know, is there a way to do, and then 5 minutes later, she's gotten on her computer and figured it out. So
right,
that's been pretty awesome. But I also think we've been back, this is our second week back now, and getting back in the building with just other teachers. You know, Brittany and I have been in constant communication the whole time planning for band, but just to be back with the team of teachers and talking about the school as a whole, that camaraderie that comes with that, and especially since we're all kind of navigating that together, that's been real nice. And there's been a lot of problem solving going on in our building, and it's neat to see everybody chipping in and getting that done. So glad to be back at it.
Well, appreciate you coming back on for a second time. Thank you very much. So again, tonight we're going to be really talking about logistical questions, classroom layout, you know, keeping your instruments clean, storage areas, things like that. And so let's go ahead and just dive in. And Terry, I'll start with you. Just give us you mentioned you're looking out into your band room. What's it look like right now?
Well, I can hold on a normal year about 100. Including, you know, instruments and percussion and side to side and wall to wall. Right there are 30 chairs out there, and that's all I'm going to put out there are 6 feet from side to side and front to back. I have every other row is in a window. I sent you a picture. I don't know if you got that, if you could pull that up. I used one of our 6 foot flagpoles to help me space it out. I've got a piece of tape that will be going down on the floor for the right front chair leg. So when we're putting them out and when we have to take them up to clean on Fridays and we have to put them back out, it'll be easy for someone to help me get those put back out. Around the podium, we don't have it built yet, but we're going to put a cage, a clear little device that I'll make out of PVC pipe and clear liners like that would go in a shower and the rings. And I've got a band parent that's going to help me design that. I've got it. I have it in my mind. I don't have a picture of it, but that will go around whoever the director is in the front of the room. There are 4 band directors that work in that room during the day. So,
wow. That's a cool idea. So I'm almost envisioning one of those fishbowl type things that they put like drummers in and houses of worship, something like that. Semi-enclosed, open on the top. And so y'all are building that out of
on a budget. Yes.
Yes. PVC.
Right. I'll use the rings that go like a shower liner with a shower liner and the rings that go on the shower liner curtain on PVC pipe on tripod legs. And it'll be 3-sided and it will be slightly taller than where our tallest band director would sit in a chair or stand. So whatever aerosols will be coming at us won't reach us. Our students will also be masked, and I guess we'll be talking about that soon, and the instruments will be masked as well.
Yeah, I love that idea. That's a great way to go about doing that. Emily, how about for you? What kind of changes are you making in your space to accommodate for this year?
Well, kind of the same thing as Terry. I measured out my band room, and I don't know that I could comfortably fit 100 in there, but we have had 100 in there like sardines.
Yes.
So I can socially distance about 26 wind players and then percussionists kind of in the back, you know, so about 30. So I've got that prepped. And then I labeled, I also teach fifth grade music. I don't know if we didn't even discuss general music, but so I'm going to have like a fifth grade rotation in my band room. And I thought it would be easier for me to number the music stands so that those fifth graders will sit in the same place every time they come. So, you know, we're trying to minimize them being around different people and trying to keep them within a certain amount of small group of people everywhere they go. So I did that, and I put tape on the floor, like Terry mentioned. And let's see what else. I think that's probably all that I've done as far as seating goes. I did set up another classroom for overflow. Some of my classes are more than 30 kids, and so luckily I have, like, Terry, do you team teach with 4 people, or is it just?
Well, yes, we do. There are, I have a great band. Our beginner band this year, our beginner band on a regular year is upwards toward 120, right at 100 minimum. And this year it's going to be quite a bit different, but we will meet all of those in our auditorium, which seats 300 students. We'll meet them there first and have conversations with them socially distanced. And then they will be split up into 4 teams. And then each team will go with a teacher. And then we will talk about instrument selection.
So I did set up like a secondary space with a smaller number of chairs for overflow over that 30.
Okay, that's fabulous. Now, Emily and Terry, are y'all moving out any storage lockers, trying to create more space inside the actual rehearsal space, or are you just kind of taking the space as it ended last year?
Well, actually, DeSoto County Schools for us this year took all of our carpet out. I had been asking for 4 years, but I guess with COVID this year, they decided that it might be a good year to do that. I have brand new flooring. It's a laminate. It's a wood laminate. And so it's a hard surface. We'll have other issues to have to deal with in the future, but it'll be easier to clean. We don't have any storage units that have been moved out. I'm just utilizing the space that I have. Any extra instrument cases will definitely not be in here, but.
Yeah. And Brittany,
I just moved a few percussion you've got your essential percussion, bass drum, timpani, xylophone, blah, blah, blah. But like my congas and things like that, I moved those into another space just for until, you know, are we going to get to have a concert? I don't know. But
Right. Until
we need those things, they're put away for now.
Yeah. Yeah. Every square foot counts right now. We're all counting cubes trying to figure out, can I get one more chair in here?
Yeah.
Now, Brittany, how about for you all? I understand you all have kind of shifted the way you were utilizing the spaces in the band room and the auditorium. You want to give us a little bit of an overview of that?
Yeah, so ours is kind of a hybrid of everything that just talked about auditorium, shifting spaces, moving chairs. I don't know if you want to go ahead. It's all explained in that video, and it kind of gives a tour of exactly what we're doing and how it works. You think it'd be a good time to share that?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead? I think that gives a great overview of how you guys are utilizing your space, and then we'll kind of break that down further together.
All right, and if there's anything you want to add, Andrew, while I try to get this up, and hopefully it works.
Sure, yeah. I will say we started talking to our principal pretty early on as soon as we saw what this was going to take, and he allowed us to kind of take over that auditorium space. And one of the challenges we also had was we have a very small storage area that we knew getting a ton of kids in and out of that storage room to get instruments at the start and in the class was going to be a major hurdle for us. So basically what we did is we converted the band room to the storage space and the auditorium to the rehearsal space, which you're going to see in this video. This is a video we actually sent out as part of a longer video to our parents to let them know what all mitigation strategies we're using and what our setup looks like. So this was just the little walkthrough tour, and this is nothing fancy. This was done on our iPhone, but just kind of gives you an idea of what this setup looks like.
Let's see if we can get it to work here.
All right.
Hey everybody. We wanted to give you a walkthrough tour of our Stewart's Creek Middle School band, modified setup for the 2020 school year. So here's what it's going to look like. As a student comes in, the first stop they'll make is at the hand sanitizer station. Now, this is just to give you a little example today. We'll have a much better setup for that once school begins. But the students will enter, and once they get into the band room, they'll see that this is very different than what it normally looks like. This is now our instrument storage room rather than our rehearsal space. The aisleways that the students can walk down are marked in yellow. So a student will just walk in the band room and then find the aisleway that will get them to their instrument the easiest. And as you look around, you'll see that the white pieces of Velcro that you see on the floor, that indicates all the places a student could place an instrument. What we've done here is just placed a few around the room just to give you an idea of how those will be placed. And of course, they will be spaced out so students never have to touch anybody else's equipment to get to their equipment. Once a student has entered the band room, they will walk down the aisle to find their instrument. And let's see, I'm going to get that trumpet right there. So student will get their instrument. Their music might be sitting there with that as well. As also, they will have their face shield. All students will have one of these, and this one. These will have the band logo on them, kind of cool. Thank you to Mr. Welch, our STEM teacher, for making those. And of course, once they have their instrument and their face shield, their music, they will carry that through here. On the way to the auditorium, our brass players will pick up one of the brass condensation cloths. They'll pick up a clean one on the way in. And just to go ahead and show you on the way out, they will pop that in the dirty bin. Those will be laundered every single night. All right, so now they have their instrument, they've got everything they need, and then they walk into the auditorium and find their spot for rehearsal. Now we would like to show you what our rehearsal space will look like in the auditorium. Our brass and woodwind musicians will play from the audience section of the auditorium. We have added a few chairs and stands on the sides and in the back. But what you'll notice is that each student has a full 6 feet of space in every single direction from their seat. The band directors will teach most of the time from the podium up here on the stage. We will use a lapel microphone so everybody can hear through the sound system. And of course, we can easily make our way up and down the aisleway to help students as needed, but maintain social distance in the process. The percussionists will rehearse on the stage. And you can see here that from where each student will stand behind the instrument, it will still give them 6 feet of space in every direction from the students around them. Now, once the students finish rehearsal, they will follow the same procedures that they came in the band room in reverse, exiting back through the band room, putting their equipment away, and using the hand sanitizer on the way out. So we hope this video tour helps you visualize what it will look like when students come to band this year at Stewart's Creek Middle School. Hey, everybody, we want to give you a walkthrough tour of our Stewart's Creek Middle School.
That wasn't going to be seamless. It was way too close of being perfect.
Oh. Well,
so that's a really well done video. And one of the things I love about that is, I mean, there was nothing complicated about that. I mean, you all have been proactively planning. It's pretty simple. It looks like you had some rags. I love that you not using the puppy pads. I know that's what the Colorado study is suggesting, but I kept thinking there's got to be a better way to do this than a bunch of puppy pads all over the floor. And so I love that. How did you all come up with this particular idea?
Honestly, I think we just started looking at all the things that were going to be required. And of course, the first thing was just figuring out, you know, where can we even have that kind of space to get that many kids in one room? And I mean, the auditorium was really our only option. So once we got clearance to use that, then it was figure out the storage into things and figure out the traffic flow to make all that work. But it just sort of came together. Our plan for the band room, we had a whole different idea of what that was going to look like with the storage. And once we got in and started taping it off and that kind of thing, it kind of morphed into a little bit different plan, but I think it's going to work. And discovered kind of cool things along the way. I mean, just one small thing is the little Velcro strips where they place their instruments. Since we have carpet, those can be moved. So if we need to change the arrangement of where instruments go, we can literally just move those little Velcro strips and say, okay, we're put them, you know, a little further apart, or trombones are going to move to a different side or something like that. So it just kind of came together. I will add too, you mentioned the puppy pads. We got the idea from our high school band directors across the street to use the microfiber cloths, because they already had a bunch of them. Well, we didn't, but once we put this plan out there for our parents, we also put up an Amazon wish list with tons of things all related to mitigation strategies. And we have more microfiber cloths than we know what to do with now. So that's been cool to see the parents step up when they saw what we were doing. They were very quick to provide what we needed to make it happen. So that's been pretty cool as well.
I'll add, Andrew, all that tape you see in the floor, just learning from our mistakes. Don't use electrical tape because it's rubber and it shrinks. So there were really pretty lines in that video that now it looks kind of like abstract art in the band room a little bit. So we're going to have to retape it. Gaff tape is awesome. Painter's tape is awesome. But don't use that much electrical tape because you're going to have to redo it.
That's good information right there. I never would have thought of that. So that's a great way, and that's a great transition. Emily and Terry, I mean, we kind of saw what Andrew and Brittany are thinking in terms of their instrument storage. Have you all given any consideration or made modifications to your instrument storage, your locker spaces for your students, things like that? Emily, I'll start with you.
I've been thinking about that, and I have a really nice instrument storage area where the shelving is – I hired a man to do it, but the shelving is conducive to the type of instrument that's going to fit on it. So like the flute shelving is real narrow, and then the French horn shelving, you know, it fits their instrument. So I don't think I'm going to do anything different other than only allowing, you know, like I think I'm going to have all the kids come and sit in their chair. And then I'm going to say, okay, flutes, you now go and get your instrument and you come back, and then just feed them in. I do have two doors, so they'll go in and in and come out the out, and just feed them by sections. I can't think of another way to do it other than they would just leave their instrument beside their chair. But then, you know, I've got multiple classes throughout the day, and that's just not going to be conducive to the flow of the classroom. So I'm just going to try to just do small groups in my instrument storage area.
And are you going to encourage them to put their instrument together there in the storage space, leave the case, come out, or bring the case with you?
They'll bring everything out with them to their seat. Because now we got plenty of space. You know, before they wouldn't have, like I would let the woodwinds bring theirs, but the brass would have to leave them in the instrument storage room. But now we got so much space, they can just put it beside their chair, their cases.
Yeah, perfect. Terry, how about for you all? Are you making any accommodations for your storage space there at the school?
Well, our storage space is actually in the band hall. We've got cubbies around the perimeter of the room. With our woodwinds and our trumpets and our including our saxophones, all of those students are going to come in and go straight to their seats with their case. And there's plenty of space around our 6-foot little cubicle area. Well, they'll put the case down and put the instrument together. The trombones will have to go to the cubby, and our cubby area is going to be taped off. The ones that are available, they actually sign up for a cubby at the beginning of the year, and we'll have them spaced at the proper distance. The trombones will store theirs there and take them and put them together and then come to their seat. And the same thing with the baritones and the tubas that are in another room. We have ample storage. There are some schools that don't, and I'm sure that's more of a challenge, but we've got that area at least worked out now.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I know instrument storage is something so specific to each program, each building, the way the space is designed and everything, and having to think through all of that. And then, Andrew, I got a quick question. We did get just a logistics question. How are you guys going to go about laundering the condensation rags that we saw, the microfiber rags there?
Yeah, well, we talked to our coaches. They've got laundry machines in the locker rooms that they use for uniforms. We also have a teen living class, and they have laundry machines in there. So we've talked to those teachers as well, and they're going to let us do that. In fact, I think kind of we got a little break in the middle of the day, I think, each day where we can go down there and do that. So, and we also sell laundry detergent for a fundraiser, so we've got plenty of that sitting around. So.
I was just thinking to myself. Yeah, I bet your job description did not have launder microfiber cloths as part of all of this, but you've adapted well.
Sure.
Well, perfect. So let's talk a little bit about just beginner band in general. I know right now, you know, we've got two of you in Tennessee, two schools represented in Tennessee, one in Mississippi. Everybody is planning to start right now, but in some sort of hybrid in-person online capacity. What are your thoughts to beginning band in general, and then how are you adjusting your expectations for the beginning band, but also just getting them in the rhythm of doing all of this as it relates to COVID-19 within the space that you're operating in? So, Andrew, I'll start with you on this one.
Yeah, I think right now we're still in the middle of even a recruitment period. We have a small number of kids on roll, certainly not what we are used to. So starting out, we've still got to do that part of the process. But once we get them in, I think our plan right now is to maybe spend a little more time at the beginning on all the fundamental skills and just getting them to tap their foot together and learn the basics of music reading. Of course, we'll spend a lot of time introducing different instruments. So our plan right now is just to sort of stretch that a little bit, maybe longer than we normally do. Mainly so we can see how things are going with having in-person kids and having online kids, just the management of that part, just managing those two things going on at the same time. And once we get kind of into a rhythm of things, we'll be able to move on with our normal plan of having, you know, choosing instruments and getting instruments. And at that point, we're just going to have to see if we're all, maybe we'll be all online at that point, who knows? But we know we certainly have a number of students that will be online. So we're thinking about ways we can still accommodate them if it's a combination of some pre-recorded videos and some live Zoom meetings, some small section stuff, one-on-one if needed. But that is probably the biggest challenge in all of this, is just how to get those beginners started. We feel really good about once we're rolling, yes, got things in place, but that's going to be the challenge. But but I think we're up to it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, from our perspective, we're starting to see kind of two strategies emerge. It's kind of like you're talking about, stretch it out, let's wait. And then we see another camp that's saying, let's get the instruments in their hand as quickly as we can. Let's get some habits set just in case we get sent home. We know they're good habits. So, Emily, how about for you all? How are you all approaching this? And what changes are you making with your beginner band to operate in this COVID-19 era?
Well, I think that I'm very similar to what Andrew said. I have about half enrollment that I usually have. And so I'm just going to assume that when school starts on Monday, that, you know, I'm hoping in a way, I don't know, I'm confused because I can socially distance the ones that I have right now. If a bunch more sign up, then I'm going to have to do this shared classroom thing. But I'm thinking we'll have more. But I, of course, got the little, I don't know what this looks like. It's probably backwards for you guys, but the Jupiter mouthpiece kit. And I plan to do a lot of the Scott Lang, because I didn't get to do any of my recruiting videos. So they don't even have a clue. You know, usually I do an instrument demonstration. We talk about what might be a good fit for them. So I'll probably be showing those be part of the band videos and encouraging them to start thinking about what they want to play. I also want to use a resource that you guys offered. Rebecca has, you know, the mouth, looking at analyzing their mouth structure. But right now, my rental meeting is 2 weeks after school starts. So, you know, I'm kind of in between. Do I want to hurry up and get instruments in case we shut down, or do I not? Because do you want to send home beginners with instruments when you haven't had the time and the opportunity to really show them what they're going to need to know to practice independently at home? I'm also holding on to hope that if we do go complete virtual, that I will be allowed to have small group instruction in the evening. Andrew, you mentioned that, just some small sectionals with especially the beginners, just to make sure they're not developing bad habits and that I'm not going to have to reteach it all once school comes back in place. So that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Yeah. I think we're all looking in a pretty muddy crystal ball right now, trying to figure out what the next 6 weeks look like. Terry, are you making any changes or accommodations with your beginning students at this time?
Well, of course, we didn't get to do our spring recruiting. That is big and at the intermediate school. So the students were allowed to sign up for band if that's what they chose. So we've got some students in the main part of the student body that will probably go in and try to do some recruiting on the first week. We have about half of the students that will be online and half of them will be in person. We'll have them in the auditorium, socially distanced in the large room with all four of us. There are four directors, you know, that are here. We will go through each instrument. We'll introduce each instrument family. We'll do some counting and some rhythms, some music theory, and we'll break as soon as we can into those four individual classrooms. And we've just started talking about, we have enough mouthpieces, brass mouthpieces, and we've got probably enough woodwind mouthpieces. As they come in, they'll be in each room for a couple of days. I'm thinking about having that same clear curtain up where the teacher can demonstrate and then the child can be given the mouthpiece and you can get an idea of whether they can free buzz or not. And you can get an idea of whether they have a widow's peak with the flute or not, you know, where they can produce a sound or not. So that's kind of what we're looking at. We hope we've got our rental meeting set up for a couple of weeks after school starts. So my goal and our goal, I guess, is to try to get everybody tested on all of the instruments as they do a four teacher rotation. They'll be in each teacher's class a couple of days. At the end, we'll have a first, second, and third choice, and then we'll choose instruments. And then Keith will be in, and we'll see him on that evening.
Okay.
And then as far as I mean, we can't predict the future. If they've got their instrument in their hand, I'm going to try to get some kind of Zoom meeting set up where we can actually do some instruction. They don't know how to open the case, much less put it together, much less make their first sounds by themselves.
You're listening to the After Hours podcast from August 11th, 2020, presented by AMRO Music. When you purchase your classroom supplies, books, and accessories from AMRO, you're joining over 500 schools in 7 states who partner with us to bring the joy of music to thousands of young musicians. And you're also supporting this podcast. Our Director Services Department can help you have your best year yet. Just email seth@amromusic.com or alan@amromusic.com. AMRO Music, since 1921. Now back to Nick Aberwater and his 4 guests discussing middle school classroom procedures during COVID-19.
Brittany, I have to imagine that instrument hygiene is going to be a huge topic of conversation for the upcoming school year, particularly for students that have their own instruments, and just ensuring what steps are you guys going to do as it relates to just instrument hygiene?
Well, for the most part, we don't have any shared school instruments minus percussion. So for the percussionists, they'll be assigned individual mallets, and then all that stuff will get disinfected, anything they're sharing. Beyond that, most of our student population, they have their own instruments. They're renting from AMRO, or they've stepped up, honestly. So we're leaving it kind of up to them. We'll provide some resources for individual instrument cleaning and maintenance and those kind of things, but we're fortunate enough that we're not really having to manage that on the large scale. We're focusing more on the space hygiene and like bell covers, that kind of stuff, not the actual individual part. We're leaving that up to them.
Gotcha. Emily, how about for you all? How are you addressing this? And are you setting expectations in place for those that own their own instruments in your program?
Well, honestly, I haven't thought about that until today, as far as, you know, disinfecting their mouthpieces. I mean, I guess I'm going to be like what Brittany said. I mean, I'm just going to assume that their parents will help them with that. But, you know, of course, I've shared with you the picture that I had made of those bell coverings. And I even had them made for saxophone. I did not have them made for clarinet or flute. I'm still trying to figure out what to do about that. But so as far as, and I'm we're really blessed at Medina that most of the kids do rent their instrument through AMRO, and they all have, we're not sharing. And so that's a, you know, that's a blessing. And I know that that's not everywhere, and that we're just lucky.
Yeah. So. Terry, how about for you all? Anything different on that?
Well, just the school-owned instruments, because of the number of students that are actually going to be here at the school in person, the school-owned instruments we're covered on, and that instrument will belong to that child during the year. And then the personal-owned instruments, they'll be required to clean them every evening. Their sterilization will be, and I've got a letter that's going home to the parents that will, the students that will be at home, as well as the students that will be here at school, and they'll understand how to properly clean it and disinfect it.
So for you, you're taking a pretty proactive approach to say, yes, even though you all have your own rental or step up instrument, the expectations of the program is still, please disinfect every day, swab your instrument, or, you know, whatever it might be appropriate to the instruments.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's certainly a very proactive approach. And, you know, I know in our shop, our guys are very comfortable doing that. A lot of them just spray alcohol on a swab and pull it through the instrument because, you know, they've been cleaning instruments and have been trying to fight getting the cold and flu for decades back there. And so that's kind of their go-to, and they've done a great job. We don't have big flu or cold outbreaks, even though, you know, we repair 14,000 instruments a year. They do a great job keeping all of that pretty clean. So to your point, it can be done pretty quickly, just and proactively. So Emily, I want to come back to you. I want to put your pictures of bell covers, and I want to spend a few minutes talking about bell covers. So of course, the National Federation of High School Association second results came out. We've seen 2 sets of preliminary results now. And the second one really seemed to emphasize the importance of bell covers, and they got more specific. You know, they're recommending non-stretchy material, good-fitting face masks. And you've got really a unique option here. So here, let me do a quick screen share and get these pulled up. All right. Is that showing up for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. So Emily, tell me about these.
Well, how this came to be is I have a band parent that was making face coverings and just saying, I'm making these face coverings for $5. And, you know, she was kind of just selling them on her Facebook page. So I thought to myself when I saw how expensive they were on McCormick's, that I would contact her and just see if she'd be willing to do it. And so she came up to the band room and we met, we measured all of the different instruments that I wanted to have her make those coverings for. And she then, originally we were going to do them all in black, but then I got to thinking about how frustrating that would be trying to pass them all back out, you know. So I asked her to color code them, and then she made me this fantastic little flow chart so I could know which, you know, which instrument was per color. And she I offered to pay her $10 a piece for these, and they are an 80-20 cotton polyester blend. They do have a little stretch, but they are very thick. Of course, I played, she brought me, she called it a prototype. This is a great parent. So she brought it to the band room and I played it to see what the resistance was like. And there's not any, there's no change in the sound. And so I'm very pleased with that. And I am very grateful to have that connection. And also, before I talked about this and showed this picture, I asked her if any band directors are interested and would like for her to sew for them, would she be willing to do that? And she said she would. So, you know, they're $10 a cover. It's about half the price of what the online companies are charging. And you get to customize them because I think most of the ones online are one color too. So anyways, if anybody's interested, just shoot me and I can send you her contact information.
Yeah. That's a really great way to do that. Oh, I flip forward here. And so you've just got them broken up by instrument here, and it looks like just a piece of elastic that's been, stretch right over.
Right. Her husband, it's kind of like a shower cap, actually. It's what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Her husband helped her. We measured, like I said, we measured the instruments, their bells, and then he cut it all out, and then she put the elastic in there, so it's a tight fit, and it, but it's easy to get on and off, and again, it does not mask the sound. I'm just assuming it just masks the aerosol that's coming out of the instruments.
Yeah, and then are you going to be handing these out for the students to take home and wash, collecting them back up, or what's your plan with these?
So my plan is there are enough for every student to have their own. They'll keep it in their cases, and I'm thinking, yep, I'll wash a couple of times a week. I'll just say, I loved, Andrew, how y'all came up with that trash can deal. I'll just have some kind of laundry bin, and I'll say, all right, you know, it's bell cover cleaning day, so go put your bell cover in there at the end of class. But every kid will have their own, so they're not going to be shared throughout the day. Like, each kid will have their own.
Okay, so after laundry day, they'll get shuffled back up, but then they'll get handed.
Yeah, and I'll say, here you go, and I'll throw them.
That's right. Terry, how about for you all? How are you all approaching the instrument bell covers?
Well, we have just really been talking about it this week. I have a couple of ideas on our clarinets and saxophones and trombones and trumpets. I have a little product that I found actually at Dollar General, and it was a dollar. I think it's intended to be either a headband or a face mask, and it is a polyester and cotton blend. It is somewhat stretchy, but it is moldable to the size for those instruments, for the trumpet, for clarinet, for saxophone, and trombone. I am holding it. I don't know. Can you see?
Can you hold it up just a hair higher for us?
Can you
Perfect.
See?
Perfect.
Yeah. Yes, I can't tell from my screen if you can see me or not. I'm looking at the other bell covers. Anyway, I have shaped it to fit the end of the trumpet. It can also be smaller to fit the clarinet and be a little bit smaller for the saxophone, and it stretches out. This is actually what it looks like. It can also be used as a face covering of some sort. It is somewhat stretchy, and what I was reading on that aerosol study was it has to be at least 2-ply thick, which it will meet that specification. With the flutes, it's not going to work on a flute. Our mask that we were given, I think we're going to try the mask with our flute students. We're also going to do the surgical mask and have the slit in the surgical mask for the brass instruments in class so they can still wear their mask. It's going to be trial and error, just like it will be for everyone else.
Yeah. It looks like a really cool product. And I know there's a lot of, I'm trying to read as much as I can. I think there's still a lot of questions about the appropriate thickness of the mask, doubling them up, the appropriate,
yes.
I guess it's pronounced denier. I've been studying what a denier
yes.
is. And I think there's a lot of, I think there's still some questions about what constitutes a good mask, just like we have face masks and everything.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting. Hopefully we continue to get some clarification, but it definitely seems to be, just like, as you could imagine with face masks, thicker, doubled over, things that don't stretch a whole lot like a spandex material. I know at one time we were playing with book socks and I just, even though the denier is appropriate, I don't think it's going to be too stretchy, and things like that. So, but mm-hmm. certainly seems like something is better than nothing. I think that's what we learned in that second study is that
right.
the masks make a tremendous difference in terms
right.
of lowering that aerosol output.
Nick, before you leave that, there's so one quick thing for you guys. Many of you saw that pattern. I think there was a YouTube video going around a band director made of just cutting the material and doing a no-sew version. Kind of try to make it easy. And so we took his design, but Parent made a great recommendation on that design. He had, can you see this? He had little holes cut, but he was running like a shoestring through that and just tying it off around the instrument.
Yeah.
And our parent made the recommendation to use the drawstrings.
Right.
And I was surprised at how cheap you can buy these little, they call them utility ropes. And I think this is called a cord lock, and they're really, really cheap. So that was a little modification we made to what we saw online, and that's what we've got for our kids. So, but thought that was a kind of a cool little upgrade that he did.
Yeah, that is a great way. Just those little pull strings like that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, did you have something too you wanted to throw out?
I did, but then I've lost it, so I can't. We'll have to just come back to it.
Okay. Well, as we are all thinking about things to mask our instruments, on behalf of all our repair technicians, I would just politely ask that at no point should duct tape or electrical tape be utilized to attach bell covers to your instruments. That we would really appreciate that. Zip ties, elastics, things like that seem to do a little bit better job long term. So talk a little bit and switch gears. Administrators have a ton on their plates right now. I want to spend a few minutes talking about your administration and what role they played in crafting your plans, how regularly you're communicating with them, things like that. And Andrew, I'll start with you. You mentioned pretty early on you had your administration in this process, and how are you continuing to communicate with them and what has been their response?
Well, first of all, we're just extremely fortunate. Our head principal, Dr. Murray, has just been just great through all of this. I think the key for us was just we got in there early. Like I said, as soon as we knew what we were looking at as far as distance and things, we started meeting with him and met with him just, and I wouldn't say not even formal meetings, just every time I could pop in the summer and doing something around the band room, I'd wander up there just to see if he was there and sometimes just go up there and talk, but every now and then we'd kind of throw in, well, and some suggestions and things for bands. So they've been extremely supportive. And again, I think part of it was just we've used that Colorado study. We've shared all that information with him. So he's been real receptive knowing what it is that we're trying to do. I think just giving him all the information has been good. And then again, getting in there early before he had a big plan for the whole building, I think he was very appreciative of us already having a plan for band. Instead of just presenting them with a problem, we already had some solutions in mind.
Yeah.
I'll add, Andrew, I think what also helped us with him was we actually took him down to the band room and to the auditorium, and we walked him through what everything was going to look like and what some of our struggles were. For example, in the video, you know, we're not using the band room as a band room now. You couldn't see what our storage room actually looks like, but it's not navigable right now. There's one way in, one way out. I can touch both walls when I stand in there. All the kids' stuff is like crammed up next to each other, so there's no way you could reach in and grab something and not touch everybody else's stuff. And we had talked to him about that, and he kind of pushed back a little bit. But when we walked him down here and we showed him, here's the plan, here's what we're doing, and here's why we came up with it, there were so many things that just instantly clicked, and he realized, oh, I see now why we're using the band room this way, or I see how much space you can get out of the auditorium and how you make it work. So I think, you know, since they don't have that expert knowledge of what does band class look like every day, what's it mean to get 100 beginners trying to get their instruments and all the struggles that come with that, being able to actually walk him through it instead of it being some plan out on paper really helped him understand our plan and why we were pushing our plan the way we were.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's a really great perspective. To your point, it's hard to visualize all of these things if you don't live in it every day. And so I think that's a great way. So you actually invited just kind of a walk along and said, here's what we're going to put the hand sanitizer here. They're going to enter here. We're going to have aisles here. We're going to go to the auditorium here. And you did a walk along with them. So I think that's a great way to go about that. Emily, how about for you? I mean, what kind of communication were you having with your administration?
Well, I remembered what I forgot a minute ago, and I wanted to say, and somebody asked a question about being outdoors. Last Thursday or Friday, we got an email that said there will be no band indoors, and all band classes, there will be no wind instruments inside, and everybody's going to have to play outside. Well, at that point, we told our administration that we had, and all the directors in my district, had these bell masks either ordered or made. And because of the bell mask, they rescinded their original email and told us that we could have band indoors. So I think somebody mentioned or had a question about that. How do you recommend doing, you know, beginners outside? So make sure you communicate with your administration, your plans. A lot of times I feel like, oh, you know, he's saying, here comes the band lady. She's got a complaint or a problem, you know, and I try to not stay in his office because of that. But I did come up with a list of questions to ask him about performances. You know, are we going to get to perform at a football game? Are we going to get to have indoor performances? Are they going to be virtual? I just met with him and had my list of questions, and he's been quite supportive, and you know, he gave me all the right answers. So I got what I wanted. But you do, I don't know, you have to find that fine line of not being the crazy band director who bothers the principal all the time, but also you do need to have that open line of communication where when you need, you know, answers, you can get them, and that they don't push you away.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Well, as we're kind of approaching, I just want to touch on one more quick thing, and as we're approaching the 60-minute mark here, and that's your Terry, you mentioned a letter to parents, and I want to talk just a few minutes about communication with parents. What has been your communication with parents thus far, and then what kind of feedback have you received to some of the procedures and the things that you're implementing as far as your band program?
Well, the letter that goes out to the parents this year will be quite different than the letter in the past. Of course, it's going to include beginning of the year calendar as much as can be determined. We have a lot of TBD on our calendar dates because a lot of things right now are up in the air. But just procedures and how the class is going to work, what it will be like when their child comes to me third period for band, what the expectations are when they walk in the door. The fact that there will be hand sanitizer available, there will be a spray bottle at the end of the period that I will walk down and spray, and every child will have a paper towel, and they're going to clean off their stand, and they're going to have it, and they're going to put it in the garbage can on their way out the door. Their area will be cleaned up, and it will be ready for the next student. I'm going to lay out the expectations of the student as it has been in the past, but with the additional requirements of being more sanitized this year to stay healthy. We're trying to follow the guidelines that have been set forth by our district and the CDC guidelines with a 6-foot distancing. That's all going to be reiterated to the parents, and I want them to feel like their child, when they come to me, is going to be as safe as possible, as safe as I can provide for them to be with the materials that I have been given.
Yeah. Well, we do have a request in the questions that, if you felt comfortable sharing your letter, I'm sure other directors would draw inspiration from that, and we'd be happy to post that in our resources. But don't feel obligated, but I'm sure people would appreciate that. Now, Brittany, you all took a little different approach. You sent this video. Have you shared it with your parents?
Yes. So that video is actually part of a longer explanation video. So we walked through what the Colorado study was and why we're doing what we're doing, and also talked about the flip side of all this, all these precautions to what is band going to look like every day? What is it like in comparison to what it was before? Traditionally, we have parent meetings at the beginning of the year with both the beginners, and then we call them the advanced band, the 7th and the 8th graders, where we lay out, everything under the sun about what band's about. So we address some of that in that video too, kind of as a substitute, kind of merging into this, because obviously we can't hold some big parent meeting with everybody together right now. So we did that, and then we developed a whole learning plan that we shared today that will also be communicating the rest of those expectations, if that makes sense. Yeah. And for the most part, the parents have been really complimentary and supportive. I think they've just been excited to know that there is a plan, and that while we don't have all the answers, they know that we're working on it and that we're going to find the best solutions we can, and that we're being the best advocates
for their
that
child.
We can. So I think they've been grateful. Yes.
Yeah, I think, and I think putting the information about the Colorado study in there is important, because it kind of poses you as the experts. Hey, I've spent my summer researching this, and I've got data to support why we're doing what we're doing. And so I think the way you all are approaching that and framing that is a great way to approach that. And Andrew, I cut you off. Jump in.
That's okay. I was just going to say, I had a couple of parents even call me as they were trying to decide whether their kid was going to attend in person or do the online thing. And I had more than one parent tell me on the phone. They said, if the band directors, based on that video, if the band directors were in charge of the entire school system, we would not have any fear about sending our kids back to school. So I took that as a huge compliment that communication was actually getting across the way we meant for it to.
Yeah, I think it was such, as a parent myself, I know when I read my daughter's preschool back to school plan, I kind of found this piece. Okay, they are thinking about this, and they're going to great extent to keep my child safe. So I think the way you all have approached that has been fabulous. So, well, everybody, it is 5:55, and of course, my favorite question to ask before we sign off is what closing advice or final thoughts do you have for everybody as we approach the upcoming fall? Emily, I'll start with you. Do you just have any closing thoughts or advice you'd like to share with everyone?
Well, I think when we started professional development this week, I think I was fearing that things obviously are not going to be the same. But after meeting with my principal and going over these concerns about performances, that's what kids are driven by. And if we aren't going to be able to do these performances, how am I going to motivate them? How am I going to keep them in the band? And he said, we want to give them the best experience that we can. And I think as band directors, even with all of these procedures and things that we're doing, we have to remember the reason that they join band. They want to play their instrument. They want to play with their friends. And so we need to try to honor that for them and try to, you know, provide them an opportunity to come in and just play their instruments and make music with their friends and to just try to keep it as normal as we can.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I think if we learned anything that's this spring, it's that we can never, we can't stop appreciating the time that we have together because you never know when it could just disappear. Terry, how about for you? What closing thoughts or final statements do you want to share with everybody?
Well, just to realize that every day is going to be different. Expectations may not be what you think they will be, but you have got to continue to keep learning, keep searching the internet, keep connecting with band directors and mentors, keep asking questions, and learn from your students. You can also learn just quite a bit from your students. Set the expectations high for them. Give them reasons to want to practice and to want to be there. You may not get to do a concert. You may not get to do a football game. You may not get to do the schedule. Our eighth graders, I'm sure, are looking forward to playing that first football game. And they're also looking forward to doing our veterans concert. But there will be other means that I will provide for them if we can't meet together in a concert setting. We'll make recordings and we'll send them to a nursing home during Veterans Day. We'll find something so they'll have a performance opportunity. And that's the reason they joined band in the first place. They want to play their instruments. They want to be together.
Yeah. And that's a great off the cuff idea you just came up with, by the way. I love that idea.
I love our veterans. The veterans time of year for me, the American music unit that we teach here and are able to share with our school community and our community as well as the nursing home that we have attended is just second to none. We really enjoy doing that. And we'll find a way to get that music out. We'll do a video and they'll play it over at Kirby Pines like they have looked forward to in the past.
That's great. I love mm-hmm. that perspective. Mm-hmm. Brittany, how about for you? Any closing thoughts or final advice you'd like to share?
I think just remember that we're all in this together, whatever this craziness is. And just like they were saying that our kids need this, they need band, they need us, they need music. So even if that doesn't look like what it's looked like in the past, that doesn't mean that we're not important, and whatever solution we can come up with this problem is going to be better than no band and no music. So if you're faced with that or you're looking at just the amount of craziness of things we're talking about doing, don't forget that the kids will appreciate it. It's going to look weird and it's going to be tedious, but it's so much better than us not being able to do anything for them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's such a, absolutely. Andrew, how about for you?
I think for all the band directors, there's a little bit of relief in some ways of not having that normal performance calendar that we all are up against. Uh-huh. We get to view the year differently, and we get to teach differently. And while kids may miss those normal performance things that we do, as Terry was saying, there's so many other things we can substitute that with. Uh-huh. And if we have the excitement for doing that like we would for a concert, that the kids are going to pick up on that, especially middle school kids. And I just I'm looking forward to just being different, just having a different year. Maybe that's the, you know, maybe once you get past year 20, you're just like, oh,
that's
man, we
right.
don't have to do the normal concert. So I'm kind of excited about that. And I think if we show that excitement, the kids are going to pick up on it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrew, one of the things that I remember, and I've quoted it a couple of times, but I remember you talked about when we return to school, it's going to be a celebration. And I want the band at the very center of all of that. And I just think that mentality has carried over into so many of these conversations and just such a great perspective that, you know, whatever we do, band's going to be front and center and we're going to have fun doing it. It'll be different, but that's okay. Well, to all of our panelists, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your thoughts as we look forward to the upcoming school year. Absolutely bravo. And, of course, if there's anything we can do for you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us here at AMRO Music. As a quick reminder, our last after-hours before just a very brief hiatus is going to be next week on August 18th. We'll host Scott Rush, the co-author of The Habits of a Successful Musician book, and we'll be talking about that book and how to utilize it. Oh, look, you've got the green one. That's the new beginner band book right there. So Terry's already got her a copy of hers. So that book just came out a week or two ago, and we'll be hosting Scott, and just an absolute nice guy, career educator, and look forward to hearing more information from him. And then we'll be back in October. As a reminder, all of our recordings, all of our resources, everything from previous After Hours, including the professional development letters, is available at amromusic.com/afterhours. We'll also be posting some of the information that we talked about. Emily, I do think we got a request for the person who sewed your belt covers for their email address. Terry, request for your letter, some other requests. So we'll try to post all of that stuff as we get a hold of it on the website so that you can find that information on demand. So again, for everybody joining us at home, thank you. For our panelists, thank you. Please have a wonderful night. Wash your hands, stay safe, wear a mask, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Good night, everybody.
AMRO Music's After Hours webinar series and podcast feature conversations with music educators who are finding innovative ways to teach their students. You can hear and see more conversations at amromusic.com/afterhours.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's episode, here are two easy and fast ways you can support the After Hours show. First, your 5-star review means a lot as it helps to boost us in the podcast rankings so that other music educators just like you can find us. Second, if you thought of someone that would enjoy this week's content and episode, hey, please share it with them so that they too can be a part of the After Hours community. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.